I'm Jonathan Capehart in today for Leonard Lopate. This is the Leonard Lopate Show on WNYC and WNYC.org. Thelonious Monk is recognized as one of the most influential figures in the history of jazz. He was one of the architects of bebop, and his impact as a composer and pianist has had a profound influence on every genre of music. This year marks the 100th anniversary of Monk's birth, and to commemorate this milestone, New York City's Winter Jazz Fest is paying tribute to him through a series of concerts, as well as a panel discussion examining his impact on modern improvised music. The six-day festival begins this Thursday, January 5th, and runs through January 10th at various venues throughout the city. And I'm pleased to welcome pianist and composer Arturo Ferro to our show, along with his sons Adam O'Farrell on trumpet, Zach O'Farrell on drums, and filling out the quartet is Dean Torrey on bass. Hello to you all. Thanks for being here.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks for having us.
Now, Arturo, the theme of the Winter Jazz Fest is social justice. How does Monk fit in with this theme?
Well, Monk, of course, grew up around the area that is now Lincoln Center. That part of the 60s was not such a nice area before Lincoln Center was built, and dealt with a lot of harsh realities that we're still dealing with, apparently, police brutality. There was a fair number of unpleasant incidents in that time period that he himself personally witnessed. So social justice hasn't really evolved much in some ways since those days. And I think that Monk grew up in an environment that a lot of people are still finding themselves in, and that's frightening. It's frightening to think that we move forward 10 years and then move back 40. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to be a pattern that we repeat all the time. And especially in this current regime that we're about to enter, I think things will take a monumental leap backwards. And I suspect that Monk would be very, very dissatisfied with the turn of events of the past month.
How do you think the current political environment we're in will impact the arts in general, but jazz in particular?
Well, I'm watching wonderful things happen because I'm watching jazz musicians react in a way that is stellar. We're trying to organize a No to Fascism concert with Symphony Space, part of a greater thing that we're doing, just says No to Fascism. So there's an ad in the New York Times today, as a matter of fact, on page 7, in which my name is affixed, that is from an organization that says no to fascism. We cannot have the Trump-Pence regime take office. I don't know if there's any way to get out of it. But musicians are organizing. And what's the beautiful, I read it today, somebody says organize, organize, organize. Those people who love war organized. And those people who love love must organize as well. And I think that more than ever, the day has come upon us, especially as musicians, where we can't look at our complacency anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it that way. It hasn't worked.
Well, let's talk about Monk.
Okay,
because that's why we're all here. So Monk was known as one of the truly great improvisational musicians of the 20th century. How difficult is it to play his work?
It's the hardest music in the repertoire to play and the easiest music in the world to play.
How is that?
Well, because his melodic contours are not they're not given to easy syncopations. They're angular and they take place in very different juxtapositions than you would normally find. They're not as repetitive. They're not as streamlined. So a lot of his melodic, if you're one of those improvisers who draws a lot of your improvisatory inspiration from the melodies of the music that you're playing, it's a little bit more difficult. The other thing about it is I think that it's also the simplest music in the world to play, because Monk himself understood the greatest rule of improvisation, which is speak from your heart, simply and utterly and honestly. There was a lot, in fact, we were laughing the other day because a lot of musicians have an inside joke that Monk would never be able to get into the Monk competition because he doesn't play on that stellar, hyper-virtuosic level. But it's beautiful because, compromised as his fingers might have been, and even some say that there was elements, of course, it's widely documented that he had a compromised, he might have been depressed, he might have been bipolar, all kinds of things. Still, he found a way to connect with the deepest recesses of his soul and communicate that honestly.
Given what you said about how it's easy and difficult to play Monk, when you perform a piece by Monk, do you play it straight as it was recorded, or do you use it as like a trampoline, a jumping off point, and then you improvise off that?
I never do anything that is exactly as, I don't believe in replication. I don't believe in playing Monk like Monk. I don't believe in, I mean, there's something to be said for that. I however, adore the spirit of Monk, and I don't think Monk ever played the same thing twice.
Monk never played Monk twice.
Monk never played. You can't. What's that philosophy saying? You can't step into the same river twice.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play Monk the same way every single time you play. It's impossible.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, sitting in for Leonard Lopez and speaking with Arturo O'Farrell. And we're discussing the 100th anniversary of the birth of Thelonious Monk. And we've got a whole band here. I wish you could see the studio. We had to switch studios to get everyone in here. You guys are going to play a few things for us. What are we going to hear first?
We're going to hear Well You Needn't, but I'm thinking that it would make a nice polka.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Thank you. absolutely amazing. That was Well You Needn't. And I mean, when it was starting out, Arturo, I was wondering, what is this? Where is this going? And then the familiar notes came in. You know, in reading up on this, I mean, some of the descriptors of Monk: difficult, dissonant, percussive, angular, splintered, asymmetrical. I was going to ask, how accurate are these terms? But I think we just heard that.
Well, you know what it is. I mean, you asked it earlier before. How does Monk deal with social oppression? How does Monk deal with the rules of jazz? He doesn't. In fact, for Monk, it doesn't exist. It's just Africa, Europe, the New World, the diaspora, the reality of life in the big city. There's no structures or institutions that can hold that back.
Mm-hmm. Adam and Zach, maybe let's start Adam and Zach. What is it like for you, not playing with your dad, but playing Monk? As difficult as I mean, it was beautiful to listen to, but watching you perform, this is not easy.
Well, Monk is...
this is Adam speaking.
Yeah, sorry. Monk, for me, actually is kind of so magical that it's honestly hard to put into words, Monk, mm-hmm. just because Monk is kind of in this otherworldly thing to me, I think. And sometimes I wonder what it would have felt like to be alive when he was alive and to hear Monk for the first time, like in flesh, you mm-hmm. know. And I think with Monk, something I try to think of is just to kind of, I think about like wonder and kind of this kind of mysteriousness, you know, this mystery with Monk and how to manifest that musically.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Zach?
To me, Monk represents individuality, and I think that young musicians playing Monk is incredibly important, because Monk was, if nothing else, he was a distinct individual in every aspect of his life, musically and just who he was as a person. And I think that that's something that's not encouraged for young musicians to explore as much these days. And I think that studying Monk and playing his music should be an avenue for young musicians to really begin to find out who they are.
To liberate themselves,
yeah,
is
exactly
what comes to mind after watching you perform that. I let's squeeze in another one. How about In Walked Bud?
You got it.
fabulous. That was In Walked Bud, performed by Arturo O'Farrell, Zach O'Farrell, Adam O'Farrell, Dean Torrey. Right, Dean?
That's right.
Yeah. once again, we have a familiar tune that you got into in a so-called unorthodox way. But Arturo, your compositions are known to be very organized and tightly constructed with very little room for improvisation. So how is it that, given that, you are able to just let her rip and be free when performing Monk?
That's funny, because I think that the only reason my compositions are that rigid and organized is because they're written for 18 musicians. And so when you get 18 musicians in a room, you kind of have to have some game plan. But I think what I try to do, and good orchestral composers try to do, is they try to capture chaos and they try to capture the freedom of the moment, but in a structured manner, so that it's a picture of what is essentially free and spiritual. I just love playing the piano. I mean, the piano and interacting with great young musicians is the best possible thing you can imagine. So it just frees me up to do my heart's work.
How I'm going to ask the O'Farrell family to talk about each other in front of each other, but what is it like for you to work with two of your sons? Well, it's the two I see here right now.
Yeah, that we know of. that's just a joke, Allison. Come on. It's a little bit like playing. It's a little bit like playing b-ball in the driveway. I mean, we've been doing this as long as I can remember. I remember playing with Zach and Adam when they were 9 and 11, 10 and 13, and just, I mean, when they were 14. I mean, it's just, we've been doing this so long, it's just natural. We play together a lot. It doesn't feel, people ask me, do you look out across the bandstand and feel waves of pride? It just feels like we're having a great time. We're grooving.
Is it a great time for either of you working with your dad?
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is as natural for us as playing frisbee, playing basketball, playing video games. Actually, I'd say it's considerably more natural for us than playing basketball. but yeah, we play together all the time. This is one of the ways we're most comfortable interacting. Mm-hmm. This is one of the languages we share together.
Can I ask a question? All the O'Farrells are mic'd up. Maybe Dean can pipe into somebody. What I found fascinating watching all of you, because we're dealing with known music, In Walked Bud, Well You Needn't, but you improvise through that. How are all of you communicating when you're improvising, so that you don't stray off into a wrong note or a bad place? And if you do go into a bad place, how do you pull it out?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because we maybe did go to a bad place. I don't know.
I can't tell you, because to me, I almost shed a tear. It was so beautiful listening to it, but
You know what it is? It's about it. Like, here again is the thing that you can't teach. I'm an educator, director of jazz studies at Brooklyn College. You can't teach this music by fear. You can't teach this music by failure or victory. You can't teach music with any of those archaic terms. The only way you can teach this music, really, is to play it fearlessly. And I think what happens is sometimes when we play together, we take crazy chances with the time, the rhythm, the meter, maybe the keys, playing three keys at once. We just did that. but we just do it because there's no fear. And I think that there was no fear in Monk that I could see. Mm-hmm. And that, my God, what a perfect example of who to follow.
Well, talking about fears, you said what you said, Arturo, about you can't teach through fear. Of course, I thought of the movie Whiplash, which was all about, you know, this maniacal teacher of jazz, who I guess is the complete opposite of you, Arturo, who taught through fear and corporal punishment. What did you think of that? What did you think of that movie, given what you just said?
I thought it was a movie. That too many jazz musicians took it too seriously, and too many jazz educators got all flipped out about it, and probably because they saw elements of truth in what the movie portrayed. But I think that it was a movie. It was a good Hollywood effort to portray a much deeper lifestyle.
It's actually to me, it's kind of a first of its kind. It's like a jazz horror movie. You know? And it's kind of brilliant. The quality movie is up for debate, but just in terms of what it is, I think it's kind of interesting.
And on that jazz horror movie note, I'm going to have to leave it there. I wish, again, another segment where I wish we had more time. I've been speaking with Arturo, Adam, Zach, and Zach O'Farrell, and they have performed some amazing numbers here live, along with Dean Torrey on the bass. Both Arturo and Adam will be playing with their respective bands at Winter Jazz Fest, which starts tomorrow and goes through January 10th. For more information about their specific performances, visit our show page at wnyc.org/lopate. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll speak with the Nobel Prize-winning scientist who discovered an enzyme that affects how well or how poorly we age. I'm Jonathan Capehart. In today for Leonard Lopate, this is WNYC and WNYC.org. Let's go out with some more Thelonious Monk.